Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast. I don't mind telling you, I'm a wee bit wabbit, as they say. It's been quite a week, has it not?
It may well have been. What are you referring to? You're a wee bit wabbit.
Well, also, wabbit, is that not what you say when you're kind of like knackered?
Wee quiet.
What's his face?
Elmer
Isaac.
Fudd.
Isaac, are you there? Isaac, is there anybody listening?
Our prank caller.
Isaac. Oh, I got a prank email to the Scottish Watches account. Somebody from, let me read it just while it's on my mind. Hold on, from a Major Dennis Hornbeck. I'm in the military unit here in Afghanistan. We have some amount of funds that we want to move out of the country. My partners and I need a good partner, someone we can trust. It is risk-free and legal. Reply to this email. Hornbeck Major Dennis 634@gmail.com. So I got the email. If you'd be more interested, then if you just email Hornbeck Major Dennis 634@gmail.com, I'm sure he'll give you all the money that he's got ferreted away in Afghanistan. You can buy lots of Rolex.
Lovely.
There you go. What's happening?
Things are happening all over the place.
Things.
First of all, yes. Our previous edition that went out, big episode 50 with Archie Luxury. We told everybody it'll be good. Everybody said it'll be shit. Everybody said we're not going to listen. Everybody decided they were going to listen, and they loved it.
Yeah, it's got a decent reaction. To be fair, it was a really fun interview. It has to be said there are some outtakes that we did not include. When it went slightly off piste at the end, but
what did I cut out? Really, I can't interview. Remember.
It was, I don't think we let him say that about and stuff, did we? Did we leave that in? I've not really listened to it. Maybe you left it in by mistake.
I can't remember what I cut out. No one's complained, and we haven't received any lawyers' letters yet.
No one's complained. Although we do know there's some lawyers' letters in the post, but that'll be something we come on to in another episode.
Yes.
So, anyway, yes, the Archie episode went down really well. I was really pleased with it. He comes across actually as an incredibly he's clearly an incredibly knowledgeable guy in terms of Rolex and a number of other brands as well. The guy does know his stuff, and you would think he would do, bear in mind he's doing this full time. He's bound to pick up at least some decent knowledge, but he does actually appear to really know what he's talking about in terms of references and just what's going on where and when. And you either like his style and his videos or you don't, but we were pleased to have him on. And pleased to have him representing himself in a way which many people that listen to the little Scottish Watches podcast appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and we stuck it out on YouTube before we stuck it out on the podcaster. That appears to work well. Just to let everybody know, we are just trying to get to 1,000 YouTube subscribers. It's a race. So this may continue for a little bit just to try and get you to listen to the episodes early on YouTube. And you can also get them, as you would normally get them, on a Monday and a Friday for your commute. So if you want the early listen, you'll be able to maybe, if we manage to get organised enough, hear an early listen on a Thursday and a Sunday. But I suspect it'll more likely be a Sunday.
I doubt this.
Sorry?
I doubt this. You doubt this? Totally, yeah.
You don't think I've got it in me to do this every weekend?
I don't think you've got a time machine where when I upload it to SoundCloud, you're going to be able to go in and take it from SoundCloud and remove it from the podcast feed and then stick it in YouTube first. So good luck with that.
Okay, I'll try that. We'll see. I really didn't understand anything you just said there, but that
good luck.
Isn't the first time and yep. Won't be the last.
What I mean is, see, so if I finish editing the episode at around about 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday, it's going to end up on the podcast feed at the right time.
Right, okay.
That's what I meant.
Fair enough.
No, but I've had lots of feedback as well. I've had WhatsApp messages from people that have listened to Archie in the past and didn't like what he said and believed that was really him. And what came across to, I already knew this, but what came across to me was that he is playing, like he says, he's method acting. So when he takes a step back, and he's normal, and he's got family life, he does this, he does that, and he was very open and honest about pretty much absolutely everything we asked, went into a lot of detail about things. So if you have ignored that episode, which a lot of people probably still have, go back and listen to it. He only swore once, and I cut it out. It was really good. It shows the depth, shows how he's been involved in things, and if you don't like him because he's caustic, that's fair enough, but he's open and honest about things. He doesn't hide behind a veil. He doesn't pretend to be something that he's not. It's what you see is what you get. And it was, for our 50th episode, it actually turned out amazingly well. So thanks again, Paul, for taking the time to come on and talk to a couple of Scottish Neds.
Indeed. And certainly, Pete McConville at Not So Obvious Watches put out a video subsequent to the podcast saying how he'd listened to it through with bated breath, only to discover that actually his mind was changed as to what he thought about Archie and another individual who will go unmentioned for this entire episode. So that's that. So check it out. It is good. It's worth a listen. Check out Archie's channels if you can bear it. But subscribe to our YouTube channel. I never, ever know. Maybe one day there'll be some actual video content.
Well, speaking of video content, an old face has reappeared on the tubes.
Right, go on.
This is a guy called Paul Thorpe. He's a watch dealer down south. And when I got into the hobby and had that thirst for knowledge that you get when you've got a new passion, I found his videos and watched them back in the day. And they were all right. They were a little bit... The guy, he's a rough and ready trader, I would say. Seems quite knowledgeable, but he disappeared for a couple of years off YouTube and deleted all his old videos. And he's popped back up again. But the first video he put online, which I'm obviously subscribed to his channel, so I saw this appearing in my newsfeed and thought, this is strange. I've not heard from this guy for a while.
Right.
First video says, coming back to YouTube, I'm going to produce some watch videos, but if you want to see them, you have to join my Patreon.
All right, okay.
And a lot of people replied and went, good to have you back. And a lot of people replied in his comments and went, you've not been here for 2 years. Your videos don't look that great. What are you up to, pal, trying to charge people money when there's so much other free content out there?
Right, okay. 25 Patreons. I've never come across the guy, but he has managed to get 25 people to pay for his content according to his website.
And how much money is that per month?
I don't know. Does it tell you?
It can tell you.
Does it tell you? No, I think that's hidden. Although the minimum tier is $5.
Right.
That's not a bad gig. $100 a month. This is a month. So $100 a month for not doing very much yet.
So what you're saying is, for us to start producing video content, we should be having a Patreon account.
I think that sounds like a cracking idea.
Should we sell out? We've only got to episode 51.
But do we actually have to produce video? Can we just do hand puppets or something?
Hand puppets. Finger mouse.
Finger mouse, like Watch Finder.
I heard you get thrown out of the pet shop for doing that.
I would do Watch Finder like videos.
Mm-hmm.
I would need to go and get a manicure though. My farmer hands not really built for video, it has to be said.
Yeah, that's something I don't like. See, when you're watching a YouTube video, well, this is pertinent to me because I've just bought a new TV, which we'll come to later on, but if you're watching a YouTube video with somebody with a close-up of their hands and it's in 4K or whatever, you see everything. You can see those blood vessels. So I'm thinking maybe we get ourselves some gloves.
The thing with the gloves is they always look so clumsy when you see them zoomed in on videos. Can you actually get white gloves that fit? I mean, how do snooker referees, do their white gloves actually fit them? Do we need to go to a pool or snooker shop and get some actual refereeing white gloves? Because the ones you see all these guys wearing in these shops, they don't fit them.
Tailored referees gloves.
Tailored gloves. Right. Who do we think would know?
Drop us a message.
Which one?
Drop us a message on Instagram, folks, if you know where we can get gloves. What are we talking about?
Bespoke white gloves for our yet unproduced video channel.
Jings. Right, okay. Cool. So there we go. That was a little rabbit hole initially. Can we deal with the usual and find out what you're not wearing and what you want to buy?
Yeah, what I am not wearing this week in my fantasy watch box. Right, pick a number between 1 and 10, but make sure it's number 4.
3.5.
Ah, 3.5. I mean, blow your brains out. Boil your head. Right, 3.5 is a watch I referred to an accused Archie of having sold. And I really like this watch.
Was it an undone?
It's an undone. that's one of Adrian's favourite brands, so I hear.
Is it?
Yeah.
I heard to the contrary. Carry on.
Adrian, Archie, they've all been sponsored by Undone at one stage or another, allegedly, is the 116-400 Rolex Polar Milgauss. It's a lovely thing. I've got a Polar Explorer 2, and it was between that and this. And as time's gone on, everybody has jumped on the Polar 2 white dial Rolex.
No.
So much so that even Clockbait have got one.
No. What happened was, because there's such a scarcity for getting a hold of steel Rolex at the moment, It's like at the end of the night at a nightclub, it's coming up to 3 o'clock and you're looking around for a victim and you've just got the dross left and you're like, ugh, that'll do, I suppose it's the last one left. That kind of thing. One of your Christian Mingles events, you know, something like that.
So Polar Milgauss is the what?
The ugly fatty at 3 a.m.
Yeah, that's us just lost our weight loss program sponsors for the video, so we'll not be hearing from them again.
Oh, well. And also, in the last episode, do you know how you're really good at pronouncing things? In the one sentence, you said Milgauss and then Milgauss in the same sentence we were talking about.
Did I?
Yep, well done, you.
Unfortunately, there's not anyone we can phone to adjudicate on that, like at Omega.
Well, actually, we could phone... Right, we'll not do it this episode, but next episode, we'll phone Rolex Service Centre and say, I've got one of those anti-magnetic watches that you sell. What one is that again? And see what they say.
We need a bit more... We need a slightly better setup than that.
No.
But
how?
I've got... Do we know if it actually say... It does say Milgauss on the dial, though, doesn't it?
Well, it's because Tim Mosso pronounces it that way, and I believe in Tim.
Well, it's the unit is the Gauss, because Carl Friedrich Gauss was the guy who, like, came up, for which the unit of magnetism is named after. So Carl Friedrich Gauss, at least I think it's him, he's a very famous mathematician.
From which era?
And his name is definitely Gauss. Carl Friedrich Gauss, I want to say, was... Hold on, I'm looking it up. Carl Friedrich Gauss was 1777 he was born. So...
Your kindergarten, then?
Yeah, well, we weren't close primary, friends. Maybe? But we knew each other by association.
Okay. You were quill friends.
Named after him. Yeah, but his name was definitely pronounced Gauss. So Milgauss,
because that's what you used to shout in the playground. Okay, right, fair enough.
Oi, Gaussy, get over here.
Gaussy.
Pass the ball. Stop being so greedy.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. Fair enough.
So Milgauss, I think that's the fancy watch box this week. What are you wearing? Are you having to make something up too?
Maybe. I haven't thought.
Have you come to this show naked?
Yeah, it's been an interesting morning, so I'm going naked wrist. But, oh, well, let me have a wee play of this fantasy game.
Okay.
Let me think. Fantasy time. What would I want? What am I after just now? Well, I bought two shitters this week. I don't know if I told you about them.
No, what have you bought?
A couple of extreme shitters.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Like, well, how extreme? Like Indian, Russian?
Oh, right, okay.
Harness?
No. Slightly more highbrow than that. A couple of Invictas are coming my way.
Invictas? Uh-huh. Right, okay. Like of the Pro Diver variety or of the Pit of Hades variety?
No. These have both got Seiko movements, but they're the Seiko 39, I believe. So they're the kind of tonneau-shaped cases. So they're like budget Richard Mille.
This already sounds grim.
Oh, it's grim. It's very grim. I even showed it to Catelyn, who has got no taste, and she thought they were grim. This was after she showed me some kind of junkyard find miniature watch that she bought. So
I saw this. She's decided that it's acceptable for women to wear women's watches.
Yeah, she's gone small, which is interesting. Did you know that she also won the competition this month in horology talk?
Yes, I saw that. The photos. She won it with a half watch Tuesday shot.
Yeah, she's obviously been good to the boys.
So I do wonder if, because she'd submitted that to us first...
Do we have copyright?
Do we have copyright on it? So can I send the guys at Horology Talk a bill? In fact, we should just send them a bill anyway and see what happens.
Could try that. I'm sure Bobby would be appreciative of such a thing.
He doesn't seem to like me.
Is it a love-hate relationship you guys have? Because every time something happens, he pops a message on Messenger in our group chat taking the piss
out
of you.
I'm not sure what I've done to offend him. I'm sure he's a very nice guy. I mean, he doesn't come across as one. He comes across as a complete moron. But just kidding.
Hi, Bobby.
But he seems to have decided that I should, in the group chat that we're all in, that fundamentally what happens in this podcast should just continue in the group chat, which is that I should be the butt of all the jokes. So
I'm not against this.
I appreciated that, but it just means I'm fighting the three of you, which I'm quite happy to do, because like I just sit on the three of you, you'd be fine, you'd be going nowhere. But although I don't know what I assume you've never met him. Do we know what he looks like?
No.
Although interestingly, his surname's Kumar, isn't it?
Yep.
Now there's a link and a half. There is a link and a half, because I've been watching a show that everybody should tune into, and the actor from it is from the film Harold and Kumar.
Which actor?
There's a link. A guy called Cal Penn.
Was he the guy that was in what's that thing called? The Ryan Reynolds film, Van Wilder? No?
No idea. I know, I've heard of the film, but I've never seen it. It does sound like the kind of film he could be in. I'm not sure he's been in necessarily incredibly highbrow films. He's been in one or two, actually. Let me just get his IMDb up here, seeing as that is.
I'm doing it. You just go on with talking.
He's been in... Yes, he has been in Van Wilder. There you go. Harun Kumar. What has he been in recently? Anything interesting? The Layover. That was probably a horrible movie as well. Superman Returns.
Right, we're done. Carry on. Move forward.
He is in an Amazon Prime series called This Giant Beast That Is the Global Economy. Now, I know it doesn't sound like a thrill a minute, but it's actually very, very good. And in particular, I think it's episode 5 deals with fraud in the copyright. What's the word I'm looking for? It's not called copyright. What do they call it when you copy stuff? Counterfeiting, that's the word I'm looking for. It specifically deals with counterfeiting and how counterfeiting kills economies. And they look at specifically at luxury items, including watches, mainly
watch videos,
handbags, and all the rest of it. You know, they haven't yet developed into counterfeiting or copyright issues on watch media. But I'll send him a direct message just in case he reckons that's a valid route of inquiry. Okay. So you should check this out. It's actually very, very good. It kind of floats my boat because I'm into that kind of economics stuff.
You're into counterfeiting?
No, I'm not into counterfeiting, okay. But I am into economics.
This is interesting.
So, it's an interesting view. It reveals a few interesting things about just how big some of these operations are that are counterfeiting some of this stuff, and interestingly answers some of the questions about why it is that Panerai or Rolex don't and aren't able to go out and just sue people whose watches look absolutely identical to them, other than not having the word Rolex. I don't know who else, and all these organisations that produce homage watches are not being permanently sued by the likes of Rolex and Omega.
Well, talking of counterfeiting, there was an this is another rabbit hole, an article I saw on Slashdot, and it was about the, what was it they called him? America's Worst Counterfeiter. And it was a guy who basically was hard up, needed some money, and had a little bit of knowledge. And a little bit of knowledge, as we know with you, can be a dangerous thing. So he started counterfeiting $1 bills back decades ago. I think it was in the 50s. And the Secret Service were like, who the hell's this guy? Counterfeiting $1 bills and making George Washington look like he's cross-eyed and misspelling all these words on it as he's taking the piss out of us. And they were chasing them for, I don't know, decades. And eventually there was a fire in a building and stuff got chucked out by the fire brigade, and kids found the plates to make the counterfeit notes, and they played around with them. When the dads got them, passed it to the police, turned up, blah, blah, blah. They eventually got the guy, who was like 71 now, and they turned up and went, "We've been chasing you for decades." And he's like, "No, you weren't. I wasn't anywhere. I've been here all the time." He didn't care. He hadn't been hiding. They took him to court and the judge went, "You're 71. You're sitting there, did you do it?" He's like, "Yeah, I did it. I was skint. You know, I only used, what was he said? He only used one or two bills per shop. So the maximum amount any shopkeeper would be down would be a few dollars." And the judge took pity, as you would, and said, "Right, I'm giving you a year and one day, and you'll be out in 4 months." And that was that. So it was a kind of happy story. But I love counterfeiting stuff as well, like Catch Me If You Can and Frank Abagnale.
All right, I thought you meant like actually counterfeiting. You love these stories, right? Okay, not actually doing the counterfeiting.
No, I don't get my hands dirty. I mean, I don't have a sweatshop in China making Omega straps anymore, so...
You had to close that merchandise stall down.
Close that down. But, you know, that was I'll have to check this out. So where is this on? Is it Amazon Prime? Netflix?
Amazon Prime, and it's called The Giant Beast That Is the Global Economy.
Right, that's...
Amazon Prime original. Check it out, it's very good.
Good stuff.
I think there's 80 episodes.
Speaking of giant beasts... Now, that could go anywhere, that couldn't it?
That could go absolutely anywhere.
That could take us to the cleaners. Speaking of giant beasts, Omega have released the Ultra Deep.
Somebody commented that it was the most ridiculous situation, us phoning that boutique in Zurich, coming away, and then Catelyn still mispronouncing Omega. And just not being able to hear that she was mispronouncing it. But there we go. They have released this watch.
Have they released it?
Planet Ocean.
Is that a kiddie on PR stunt?
Yeah, I think they've strapped two of them to a submarine and one of them to the arm of a submarine or something like that. So there's three of them certainly in existence. The Omega Seamaster Planet Ocean Ultra Deep Professional.
Where did you get this information that they've strapped this to a submarine? Did you make that up?
No, I'm pretty sure I didn't make that up. Well, okay. Hold on a second.
Do submarines go down 14 kilometres?
Yes.
Would they not crush?
Well, obviously it's not your bog standard submarine, but this is not your bog standard watch. They strap it to a diving bell, yes.
Okay. When I think a submarine, I'm thinking Hunt for Red October.
No, Hunt for Red October could get to about, oh, I think they get to about 1,000 feet, a submarine, before it goes pop.
Mm-hmm.
Because the shape for a proper diving bell, it virtually has to be made out of one piece of metal kind of thing. It's very strange how they hold it together. And obviously there needs to be a tolerance in it so that as it crushes, you know, all the weak spots, etc. But
you're really trying to sound like you know what you're talking about here.
Well, I used to know what I was talking about in terms of what was called pressure vessels. It was something I once upon a time studied, but have never had to use any of the information I studied until 30 seconds ago.
Mm.
So unsurprisingly, I can't remember much of it. So they tested this watch. I think they tested it two ways. I think they chucked one in a couple in the ocean, and I think they also tested one under pressure at sea level using a pressure testing. So I think they tested the one at sea level to 15,000 metres and then sent the other two down as deep as they could get, which, as he struggles to read the article on it and cannot find. But anyway, it went deep.
That's what she said.
Is that it went deeper than the Rolex deep sea. So that was what they were after. I have no idea what the point of this is. A couple of people have gone, so that's you know, cool story, bro. What's the point in all this? I do wonder whether is it possible that the much fluted new Bond watch might actually be something related to a more commercial version of this and called something entirely differently? Because we're still running with this rumour that the new Bond watch is not going to be
an existing model.
An existing model range. It's going to be something brand new. Although I've not heard anything more recently than that in the last week, 10 days. But this watch, I mean, it's a lovely looking watch, this thing, but it looks absolutely enormous. So who knows what they're going to do with it. I can't imagine they're going to produce them commercially.
No.
But presumably they'll produce something based on it. There's a whole load of new tech involved in it as well, which is quite impressive in terms of material science and how you join stuff together, basically, and how you deal with the crystal, because fundamentally the problem with a dive watch is you've got a great big hole in the front that you've filled with a bit of crystal or plexiglass or glass or something. So immediately you're, you know, crippled the integrity of what you're trying to do.
So basically what happened was, over in Geneva somewhere, in Swatch headquarters, they're all sitting at a table and they said, "We've kicked the arse right out of this moon thing. We need something else, guys. What can we do?" Right, we've looked up the way, how about we look down the way? Like those Rolex guys, they had that deep sea challenge monstrosity. Can we do something better than that? Cool, right, okay, yes. Make it blue. Right, get it out the door. So that's what's happened. Slow news week.
I did... I did hear a great comment. I can't remember whose podcast it was. I think it might have been Across Time Zones commenting and asking the question, who has actually celebrated the moon landing more, Omega or NASA?
No. That was a snippet from Archie Luxury's live chat that I sent you.
Was it?
Yeah, It was a super chat. Someone had said exactly that.
It was a super chat from there. So I thought that was one of the best questions I've heard in a while. And actually, I wonder, do you think we could ask the guys from Mont Blanc tomorrow? They're kind of unprejudiced. Who do you think has celebrated the moon landings more, Omega or NASA? That should be our question for all guests from now until the end of July.
So we'll ask the guys from Richemont what they think of their competitors, Swatch Group, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Let's ask them. Well, because it gives them a chance to say, yeah, to have a giggle at Omega.
We need to be on our best behaviour tomorrow.
So far they have made more of the moon landing than NASA have.
True.
And all they did was put a single watch. They didn't even put two watches, and there was two. At least NASA put two people on the moon. They didn't even manage to put two watches on the moon. They only managed to put one, because Neil Armstrong left his behind.
He said to Buzz, "I'm not wearing that shitter out there."
"I've got my Rolex on, I'll wear that. It's all the same to you." I've got the Daytona I borrowed from my wife. Exactly. I'll wear that if it's all right by you.
And I'm not wearing that Patek because the rotor's stuck on it.
Yeah, what's the world time telling me the time is on this world?
Oh, shit.
Anyway, so that's that. So talking about some humorous things within the watch world, I think we've referred to this already on the Archie episode, but go and check out Gunzap. on YouTube. Again, I stress, it's not me, honest Gav, not guilty. I don't care how much.
I get a message accusing me of doing it.
Well, it's definitely not one of us.
No.
Might be both of us.
No. Whoever's behind this has got a lot of skill that we don't have and a lot of time that we don't have, because the one where all of them are good, I can't think of any of them that are bad. The editing, the cutting, the sound effects, everything is just spot on. The humour levels are great. So I wish we could find out who it is and bring them on the podcast.
Well, you never know. Watch this space, as they say.
Do you know who it is?
I may be able to contact the person involved and disguise their voice and bring them on the show at some stage in the near future, yes.
Ooh. We'll have a chat about this later.
The only issue is going to be that, you know, we need to somehow keep the humour level going. So we can, it needs an undercurrent of conflict to keep it humorous. So we need to provide Gunzap with some more stuff that he can then edit together into some comedy slots.
Should we film covertly some stuff tomorrow when we meet up with Adrian?
I'm thinking that when we're with Adrian tomorrow, we should try and get some B-reel.
B-what?
I was also wondering, B-reel? No, it's not B-reel. What is it called?
B-roll.
B-roll, B-reel.
B-reel, be yourself.
Yeah, hi. Bye, niece.
Now, that was a Freudian slip for all you YouTubers out there pretending to be other people.
Oops. hoisted by my own petard. Anyway, so I was also wondering, do you think that we could, like, lure the clockbait guys into something that we could then use? No, sorry, not use, that we could then pass on to Gunzap?
Potentially. But did you remember they did a video maybe a couple of weeks back? And you know how they kind of have a joke and a laugh with you, and there's a bit of back and forward. And then they thought they would take the piss out of my car for no apparent reason. It's like I'm sitting at the sidelines going, what? What the f-? So that's obviously sat with me, and I've thought that was a bit weird and a bit underhanded. And then one of the clockbait guys posted up going, oh, look, me and my missus, we've got our second home together. And I'm looking at it going, cool story, bro. And then in the driveway, there's an MX5.
I think I made the first comment about which one did they have a foot? Because he's got.
No, it was
Luke's
me.
Got quite. Look, no, but I also made a comment. Luke's
afterwards.
Got like long flowing locks. I wonder whether actually that was as a result of a hairdressing course.
Could well be.
That was his wife's trait or trade.
Yeah.
But he then also confessed that because I said to him, well, it could have been worse. It could have been an Audi TT, to which he confessed that actually he sold the Audi TT to buy the MX5.
So if you're wanting to take the piss out of my poor man's 911, then just look in your driveway, sunshine.
Or my Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we're always making friends out there, aren't we?
Absolutely, yes.
And leading on from car stuff, this is the Segway show and a half. Now, this isn't watch content, but I saw a trailer.
This is a bit of a tidy up show, because the watch content's going to come thick and fast. We're recording 4 episodes tomorrow, so this is the kind of calm before the storm.
That's a good point. No, we actually have a lot on tomorrow. So there's a new film coming out quite a bit down the road, but I've started to see trailers for it. And it is called Ford versus Ferrari. Have you seen this advertised?
I have seen the advert. I know vaguely the story. This is about Ford wanting to take on Ferrari's dominance at Le Mans and engaging a designer. What was Shelby's first name?
Carl.
Sorry?
Carl Shelby.
Carl Shelby. Mm. And the driver, it was a Scottish guy, the driver, isn't it?
Don't know about that. I don't know much about the other stuff. But
Ferrari
Christian Bale's playing him.
Ford. Yeah, I think it's, I'll just need to refresh my memory. Ken Miles, isn't it? I think was Ken Miles originally born in? No, he wasn't. He was born in Sutton Coldfield. I don't know why I thought he was Scottish. Maybe it's because he was a great guy, and clearly that's kind of default setting for being Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
But he was born. He was from Sutton Coldfield, Birmingham, which was like the centre of the British car industry until it wasn't. And it was a team. Well, it was basically the pair of them getting together to show Ferrari how it should be done, and they, as a result, the GT40 was created.
Yeah, gleaning information from the trailer, basically Ford wanted to kick Ferrari's arse and had unlimited accounts sitting there with DuckTales money. and went to Shelby and said, you've got 90 days to make something that'll beat these guys. And I don't know, I've not seen the film, but apparently probably they did, otherwise the film wouldn't have been made.
Yeah.
A bit of an anticlimax if they didn't, I suppose.
So
have we ruined a film that's not even out yet?
Yeah, I think you might have done. Well, you've not quite, because there is more to the story than that, but I'll not give it away.
Okay.
I'll not do checks until spoilers until at least the film has been released.
Good stuff.
So that's that. There is actually some watch news. There's a couple of watch changes within Scotland.
Is there?
You've spotted the official release of the information from our friends at Chisholm Hunter.
Well, now this could be official, but it might not be, because Chris has got a rather checkered past when it comes to putting posts on Instagram and then being told to delete them. Remember he posted up about Omega, and then yes, we were going to tell everybody, and then he messaged us and went, shit, corporate have been on the line. But no, apparently that post has now stayed up, so Ayla and Zona Langer are going to be at
Langer and Zona
are going to be at Princess Street in Edinburgh at Chisholm Hunter. And you know more about that brand than I do, because I don't care about them.
I do.
So tell
I'm a big ALS fan. Who wouldn't be, frankly?
I thought you were a JLS fan.
My kind of grail watch, for want of a better expression, would be a Zeitwerk of some description, in particular the Zeitwerk Date that was released this year. So I'm hoping, I'm not hoping to be able to buy one, that's not going to happen, but I'm hoping to at least be able to see one in the flesh, because I've never actually seen an A. Langer and Zona, unlike yourself, who are deeply familiar with their stands at SIHH, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I get chased out of this year's one because I was playing with their movements.
Well, you were supposed to take them shortbread and stuff this year.
No, I did. No, this was...
Did you?
This was when, again, you were living in your fantasy land, and you'd been mailing the chick from ALS on Instagram, and you thought going to SIHH, there would be nobody around and we could just sit down and have a wee party with them, not realising there's thousands of people, and how the hell am I going to get 10 minutes to sit down and find the right person and give them shortbread and get a photo and have a joke and a laugh? So that didn't happen, but we did. We bought shortbread and we took it to Switzerland and then we took it back to Scotland again.
Was that right? Did you not even leave it there?
No. No, took it. I gave it to somebody because I obviously don't eat that kind of shit. But no, their stand was good this year. It was nice, and I was playing around. I think, did I make a video this year? I can't remember. I think I did.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, pass,
I did. And it was very rushed because we didn't have a lot of time. But yeah, there's a bit of a video where I'm playing around on the Langer stand. So Sam can check that out.
Oh, excuse me, I'm yawning. It's not that you're boring me. Well, maybe it's slightly. Anyway, other watch news. I need a nudge. Shut it. So, Watches of Switzerland. So, we have been trying to interview Brian Duffy, who's Scottish and who I know from other enterprises, who's the chief executive chairman. He's not chairman, he'll be the CEO of Watches of Switzerland Group. And they've just had their IPO. And for those of you that know how IPOs work, once you're a traded company, if significant people within the company buy or sell shares, you have to declare it. So Mr. Duffy had to declare and then tot up in new share issues that, as a result of the IPO, he'd in fact managed to gain himself approximately £11.8 million in assets, both cash and future share options. So the reason we probably can't get him on the show is because he's busy spending all his money. But yeah, that's gone down quite well for Watches of Switzerland. And I had some interesting commentary on it, because they're such a large company. That actually, what happens with public companies, for those who are not involved in this scene, is when they report, say, they're three, depending on how they do it, they'll maybe have a 3-monthly or a 6-monthly or a half yearly or annual. There'll be various times of the year that they'll have conference calls with investor groups, so pension funds, fund managers, traders, whoever it is that they are already big shareholders, etc. And as I understand it, one of the big pitches to investment houses as to why they should invest in Watches of Switzerland stock was that it was one of the few ways that an investor could effectively invest in Rolex. So as we know, Rolex is not a traded company. It's a privately held, it's not a charity, privately held corporation with what's the phrase they use? A foundation. It's held as effectively as a foundation, as I recall. And that means that Rolex are making a stack of money. They're incredibly popular. Their watches maintain their value, just like gold maintains its value. It's almost a new gold standard, Rolex sports watches. But you can't make money by investing in their shares. But what you can do is you can invest money in those that sell those watches. And so one of Watches of Switzerland's big reasons and for going to the marketplace and trying to encourage pension funds, etc., to buy their stock was that this is effectively the best way and the only way that you can invest money in Rolex's growth, because they are such big dealers of Rolex. So I thought that was quite an interesting take on it, because obviously the watch industry in general and luxury goods isn't necessarily always buoyant. It is subject to the fluctuations of the market, but Watches of Switzerland are so heavily invested in Rolex that this actually was a way for the market to also invest in Rolex.
That's quite interesting, because gold prices have kind of gone a little bit nuts, and Facebook have announced their own cryptocurrency, and on the back of that, Bitcoin has shot back up again.
I'm just actually in the process of writing an article as we speak about the last month in watches, what the prices have done, and the only thing, so watch prices, so sales prices for used and grey market watches have gone up 4.9% in the last month, and the only thing that's regularly traded that's beaten that in the last month I can find is Bitcoin. So there you go, invest in Rolex sports watches or Bitcoin, because that's where the growth is currently.
And we're kidding on, we don't want any lawyers' letters.
Although I was just going to say, we should stress this is not financial advice. You should seek independent financial advice based on any trading that you wish to take place. And remember, markets can go down as well as up. But
other competing cryptocurrencies are also available.
Are available. But interestingly, the whole gold standard thing is also covered in that Cal Penn Amazon stuff. And this was an interesting analogy, which I've known of, but it's maybe worth repeating. I'll not go and bother to explain what the gold standard was, but the key thing with gold is it holds its value. So while at the moment you may be seeing gold prices rise, the analogy is this. If you had an ounce of gold back in the day, like in Shakespeare's time, that ounce of gold would allow you to buy a really fine, you know, suit of armour. It would allow you to dress as a gentleman. Same if you take it to the 18th century, an ounce of gold would have allowed you enough resources to buy the best clothing of the day, a suit for your work.
You're speaking from intimate knowledge here, aren't you?
Yes. Nowadays, if you look at the price of gold, I'm not sure what it's sitting at today, but let's say it sits at roughly $1,300 an ounce. £1,000, a £1,300 suit is a good suit. And so actually what you see there is that gold is an item that has retained value, whereas currency doesn't. Currency always has to deal with inflation. So a pound now is much worse than a pound. It doesn't buy as much as a pound 5 years ago. And interestingly, we are going to be speaking, and it might go in this show or it might go in a subsequent show, to Fears Watch Company, who, and it may already have sold out by the time this runs, are actually releasing a special watch for their 1,000th day of reincorporation. And the watch is priced at the same price as the original, allowing for inflation. So an £11, however many shillings and pence watch back in the 40s, I think it was, is now being sold, I think, for £483. So that just shows you that cash is subject to deflation or inflationary pressure, depending which way around you want to look at it, whereas gold maintains its value. And it would seem Rolex sports watches do that too. So there's my economics 101 for today.
Interesting.
Other thing that's happened, interestingly, in the watch world, I'm not sure how much of an effect this will have, is with Sotheby's. So Sotheby's have these massive watch auctions that they do every so often, but it was a publicly traded company.
Are they worldwide?
Sotheby's, yes.
Right. So they're like Christie's and Phillips and all that.
Yeah, they're the same as all of these. They buy and sell worldwide. They have guys scouting the planet looking for watches. I'm trying to remember if Sotheby's is where, what's the girl at Houdinki called? Cara.
Mm-hmm.
I think she used to be at Sotheby's. Somebody will maybe correct me. It might not have been Sotheby's. It might have been Phillips.
She reminds me of Gillian Anderson now, the X-Files.
I don't think I've ever seen a photograph of her.
No, she's got this kind of, a bit of a Scully look about her. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Daydreaming. Carry on.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I get the impression you might be a bit of an X-Files fan. Do you have a wee Gillian Anderson crush?
No, I didn't. It was more Mulder for me.
Yeah, right. Your Tinder activity says differently. Anyway, so Sotheby's has been bought and taken private by, I think it's an Arab chap, who is very much into his artwork. He's an art trading billionaire type gentleman. So it'll be interesting to see if that has any impact on where Sotheby's focuses, because watch sales is just a very minor part of what Sotheby's do. And interestingly, just to refer for the third time back to this Amazon show, the...
Are we sponsored by Amazon?
Well, we should be. I'll say again, this giant beast that is the global economy. There's also a really good section, one of the early episodes, about money laundering and about it doesn't take a genius to think about the watch industry and the auction industry. There's a wee trail of crumbs led there as to how some of these things changing hands could be very much for nefarious purposes. So I'm going to be doing some investigating. I'd be quite keen if you work for an auctioneer's. It certainly happens. I mean, absolutely. Absolutely happens in other things. I've never really thought about it much happening in the watch world, but as a way of laundering money, we'll give you complete confidentiality. But if you've got any stories, we'd quite like to hear them.
No, we wouldn't.
That's our CSI Scottish Yard watches.
Let's not go down that rabbit hole, because we do not want to speak to anybody at all, especially not in Glasgow, who may buy watches to launder money.
No, they don't do that in Glasgow. They don't buy watches to launder money. They buy ice cream to launder money in Glasgow.
Times have changed.
Ice cream, haircuts, and...
sunbeds?
Car washes. Sunbeds, yeah. Cash businesses. Mm-hmm. But the auction world is, for really high-end stuff, because of its cash nature, is a way in which it's well recognised that, I mean, these big auction houses have to have lots of ID stuff going on in order to prevent money laundering. But there'll certainly be some stories of some people having tried to use it to launder money. So yeah, if you've got any good stories, give us a shout.
Speaking of big figures, our friends over at the Watches TV have hit a milestone.
Mm-hmm. They have. Mark, we've been trying to get him on, haven't we?
He's a busy boy. He's coming on. Yeah. Good. You notice how all the guests come via me? You notice that? Never mind. Carry on. So,
Is that strictly true? Is that strictly true?
Prove me wrong.
I'm just thinking. Nick from Fears.
Okay, 1 out of 50. Carry on.
Who else? Catelyn was yours, but that's...
Well, I own her now, yes.
Oh, Sam.
That wasn't you.
Yeah, that was definitely me.
She emailed in. You didn't hunt
Sam.
Her.
Sam. Yeah, she emailed me.
No, she emailed us. She sent her CV in. You didn't hunt that one out. Right, next.
I absolutely did. Sam, get on here. Get on the show notes and tell us, Sam, who did you speak to? Did you come to this game show because of me or because of his nibs on the line?
Actually, people that are important, who?
Anyway, so yes, Mark, I'm really looking forward to be fair, you've brought on some dogs as well.
Like who?
No, but I'm not going to name them.
Jody will kick your arse.
No, he won't. He's like 12,000 miles away. And he's from Ardrossan. Nobody hard comes from Ardrossan.
That is fighting talk, that is.
They come from, if you're hard, you come from Saltcoats or Irvine or the Three Towns. You don't come from Ardrossan. Give me a break.
Okay.
Anyway.
Watches TV, they've had 100,000 subscribers.
Yes. Yes.
And that's a good
thing. I really
thing.
Like what he does. He's got a really unique, he's got his own wee niche. It's really popular, really well done, high quality, great editorial values. And he does these tours as well, which is a really niche thing. I'm not sure that our tour of Anne Ordain and Fears, God love them both, will go down quite as well as him being able to take folk on a tour of the Zenith factory.
Well, I like to look at him, or even look at us, as the Scottish equivalent of what he does, really. Apart from he doesn't have a podcast. Mm-hmm. So, never mind.
Cool.
Watches TV, if you've not checked it out, they're on YouTube. Great channel, lots of varied content, not run-of-the-mill stuff either. They get lots of behind-the-scenes access to different brands that you don't see every day, that people don't talk about every day. Plus, they do the generic stuff as well. They had Peter Speakmarin from The Naked Watchmaker.
Mm-hmm. He's disappeared a bit. Is that still a thing, The Naked Watchmaker?
I think it is. I mean, he sold his company, so he can't use his own name anymore, so he's doing that.
No, I thought that was a bit of a peculiar move.
Yeah. A bit of an odd
one. And he's like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Not scholastic. He's a bit of a philosopher. A stoic. I think he's a bit of a stoic. Like, not, in the kind of generic sense of he's a bit stoic, but actually, philosophically speaking, I think he's a bit of a thinker, is our Peter. So actually, we should maybe get him on here, because it would be good to introduce some actual thinking to this podcast.
Let's not break a winning formula.
With actual content.
He's done a lot of good content, and I've only actually seen his stuff through the Watches TV. He did a couple of teardowns. I think it was a Rolex Submariner. And he broke it down to bits to do a service on it, and then videoed the whole process. And
I think he did a El Primero as well, which was absolutely fascinating.
Oh, no, I don't think I've seen that. But these things are phenomenal.
I think it was him. Amazing. I'm just sitting there going, please don't sneeze. Please don't sneeze. Send all these parts everywhere.
Okay, so when we're doing our little factory tours, we'll take some sneezing powder with us. And I'll film it.
And some sneezing powder.
So that was
good.
Go out
behind people and go out behind watchmakers and go boo.
Oh.
Oh
man.
There used to be a friend of mine who whenever you were sitting at dinner, so you'd be sitting around a table in a restaurant at dinner, minding your own business, just chatting away, and then at the top of his voice, and he was a big guy, like over 20 stone, would shout at the top of it and he'd just go boo, and you would just see like us at the table would get a fright, let alone everybody else in the restaurant. Mostly it resulted in hilarity. It depended on how much cutlery and plates were dropped at the time, but he was wealthy enough, he just paid the bill. There you go.
Well, I knew this was a made up story when you started it with a friend of mine.
It wasn't me. I have done it, but it wasn't me in this
particular case. I was implying you don't have any friends, but if that's the route you want to take,
I suppose that because I'm referring to somebody that's over 20 stone, it must therefore be me.
I kept my mouth shut at that part. That was a good point.
I noticed. I'm not quite 20 stone.
No, you'll get down to that eventually. I'll be fine. But what was the other funny thing that you did last week? Oh yeah, I asked you, because obviously I'm disconnected from the world of such things. I asked you if you could go into LinkedIn to find a person and then save their information as a PDF and just email it across to me. So I did this thinking, this is an easy one. Rick will handle this. Rick is on the ball. We've given him 6 months of intense IT training. This will be fine. What does Rick do?
I run an IT department.
And you run an IT department. So what does Rick do? Rick goes to LinkedIn, finds what I'm after, prints it off, sticks the print out in his scanner, scans it, and then sends me the PDF.
Well, you asked for the content in a PDF. Did you get the content in a PDF?
It was a little bit blurred and smudged.
Did I fulfil the criteria that were set before me? Yes or no?
Potentially. This was like a few episodes ago. No, this was like a good few episodes ago where you were trying to record things to send and you were playing it out of your speakers on your computer and recording it and then sending me the file instead of just sending me the digital thing from the computer.
Again, it just gives you that whole analog feel.
Oh, man.
We talk about mechanical watches, for goodness sake. We've got to maintain the whole analog thing going on here.
Okay.
I can't be cutting and pasting stuff electronically to you. You've got to print it out, scan it, and send it back to you.
Right.
I mean, have you got a fax machine at home or a telex machine? I've got one here. I can use it and send you stuff if you like.
You can send me a telegram if you wish.
When was the last time you sent a telegram?
Did the Queen not send you one when you were 100?
That doesn't happen anymore. You have to apply. Which seems a bit unfair, seeing as if you're at 100, you're probably, you know, quite deaf, quite blind. I mean, I'm the age I am, and I'm already quite deaf and quite blind. Goodness knows what I'll be like at 100 if I even vaguely make it that sort of distance.
Doubtful.
I mean, one day you will have to find another host for this show.
I've already found a few. You're on your way out, sunshine.
The interview's continuing.
They do indeed. And most of them seem to be female.
Who's at the top of the list? Well, that's no surprise, let's face it. So who's at the top? I mean, we do have to touch on this subject of the love tryst between you, Catelyn, and Sam. I mean, I'm getting correspondence. People are quoting me friends quotes.
No, they're
about
not.
The whole,
you're making all
the
this
whole
up.
The whole Ross thing where he was, you know, he was desperately in love with Rachel but was getting married to the English girl. It's just so reflective of what's going on here. Apart from the fact that, well, that I'm making it all up. No, but apart from that, if you speak about something, you know, what is it Archie would say? Fake it till you make it.
Right, you just invent little stories and keep this charade going.
So. I don't know.
They stay too far away, you know.
Is Sam... well, you see, and that's the only reason, let's face it. that's the only reason why you're still able to speak to both of these people is that they live too far away for you to have ruined the relationship by dating them. Anyway.
My zone of influence doesn't extend that far.
Does the gold membership of Tinder not allow you to expand your zone? No,
it does, but it doesn't give you free air miles, does it?
If anyone would like to subscribe to our GoFundMe page for Ricky's flight to the States, that's what the Two Broke Watch knobs. Maybe that was the solution for going to Red Bar in the States.
Me and Callum were talking about this once we obviously rumbled. When I obviously rumbled Float Light's whole it's only £350 shenanigans to go to this Red Bar thing.
Which is okay if you're a gazillionaire.
Which he is.
Yep.
He's probably jet setting around the world with Brian Duffy as we record this. But yeah, it was somebody, I think it was me and Callum were talking about this, and you know, I was thinking, well, I could set up a GoFundMe page to get the whatever it was going to cost, $2,000 or whatever, to go to this Red Bar thing in the States, which is cheap to go to because it's only £350, but it's the hotel prices every night that were a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And then Sam came on the show and said they'd all been talking in a group chat and they were a bit like, oh, I don't know if we want to share a room with Ricky. And then I found out from the other people, because I asked, that it was actually Sam that was a bit more concerned about what may happen if she shared the room with Ricky.
I think that's a perfectly reasonable suspicion.
Yeah, then she followed it up with a message last week that totally caught me by surprise. Uh-huh. And it was a comment about a comment that I made, and that's as far as I'm going with that.
Yes, I would keep that.
Did I send you that one?
Was I in the message group and she just didn't realise I was in it? I can't remember whether you forwarded it to me. But anyway,
probably
Sam.
Forwarded it. Sam's a bad girl.
Your stuff's been sent around. I've taken some printouts for use at the Mont Blanc event tomorrow.
Good. So that's fine.
We'll pass them out.
And did you not say that she had a super fan come in to see her?
Oh, yes. She contacted me the other day and said that she'd had her first person come into the store and say, are you Sam from the Scottish Watches podcast? I was quite chuffed with that, to be fair. So there you go. Nice. You need to check it. What episode number was that? That would be... Oh, what episode number was Sam? Have a guess.
47.
I was going to say 46. It was in fact 45. So episode 45, Sam from David Carpenter Watches. Go out there in Tunbridge Wells. So to the man who was going into Tunbridge Wells to, I think it...
Sell a Royal
Oak. I better not say it just in case that breaches something. But anyway, was clearly a man of great taste, because not only does he own a Royal Oak... I'm not sure whether he was buying or selling. But he also listens to this podcast, and he also knows David Carpenter Watches and Sam Theron. So the man, or woman, no, it was a man, has...
The man or woman.
Has clearly great taste.
Indeed.
So there you go.
Perfect. Well, that's us up to nearly an hour, so I think we should chop this one.
Yep. Sounds like a good plan. Let's get out of here while the going's good.
Yeah.
Right, key thing, go to YouTube. Okay, go to YouTube, subscribe. We need to get up to 1,000 subscribers, and because then YouTube starts sending us lots of money. No, they don't really, but we want to get to 1,000 subscribers because it just makes our life easier. We can get access to other things. So,
was it something you said that you can do live chats with people?
Yes.
Or what was it?
Once we get to 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours worth of listening, we can then do live shows on YouTube. And we are busy having a think about what we do next. We're happy with the way the podcast is going. We want to make some changes to the website. It's going well. We're getting lots of hits. But we want to step that up a bit. And we keep on filming video and then deciding, nah, we're not putting that out in the world. So we want to have all the tools available to us while we decide what we're doing next, who we're doing it with. Who else we're going to get on. So one of the things we'd like to get open to is the opportunity to do live casting on YouTube, and for that we need 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 listeners. So if you're already subscribed, if you could do us a favour and go to the playlist and just press, set up a computer overnight and just press play, and it will play through all 50 episodes. Okay, and it'll just keep doing that until you stop. So if you've got a spare computer in the house, could you just press play on the playlist and that'll help us get to 4,000 hours and 1,000 subscribers as quickly as possible. If your wife's got an account, if your boyfriend's got an account, if your dog's got an account, I know the Cockbait dog has a YouTube account because it's the only way that you get subscribers, then have the dog subscribe as well.
If only there was a service where you could buy views...
I knew that. You have managed to avoid any incriminating.
Yes, that's the end of that. Tell people where to go.
So go to YouTube, search Scottish Watches for YouTube. You can now find us on SoundCloud if you want to leave messages, like, subscribe actually to the podcast directly on SoundCloud rather than
iTunes,
etc. No, why not? Don't do that.
No, they have to do it through the website. Otherwise, it miss out on analytics and stuff.
All right, okay. Well, I don't understand this stuff. Anyway, subscribe to the podcast. The good thing about YouTube, if you listen to us on YouTube, is it's a really good way of leaving comments. It's a dead easy way, but you can also leave comments on the website, on the articles. We will do our very best to engage with you if you choose to leave a comment. I think there's 80 or 90 comments on the Archer video, which we've at least tried to like and give you a thumbs up for your subscription, for your comment. So do that. What else is there? Oh, if you're interested in writing for
handy
the website.
Handy hint as well, guys. If you're a dick and you're on YouTube leaving comments and you think we've left your comment on there and everyone's seen what you've written, the chances are you've been shadow banned. So nae luck.
So we will continue to have a very enthusiastic chat with you, but the chances are the only two people are seeing it is you and me.
No, you don't understand how that works at all. No one sees it apart from the guy. We don't even see it.
Oh, do we not even see it? Oh, that's even better.
They're sitting there typing away at themselves.
Some of them are quite fun.
Well.
But anyway, there we go. So check us out on those channels. Like and subscribe to all the usual things. Bell icon so as you get the updates, and we will be trying to release, once I twist Ricky's arm, at least one episode in advance each week on YouTube to try and give you a good reason for going there and liking and subscribing. Again, if you're on forums, please share everything. We are not copyright queens. You do not need our permission to share the videos or the podcasts. So get on the forum, click the, you know, cut and paste the links and just paste them in your Facebook group and send people our way. That would be very good indeed. So that's it.
Do you have an Goodbye Instagram page?
Me. Oh, we do have an Instagram page. Yeah, at Scottish Watches, surprisingly enough.
You're so good at this game. Oh, wow.
If only I had a list. If only you could take some sort of implement and, you know, make kind of impressions on something.
If only you had a piece of stone and a chisel, like the good old days, eh? When you climbed that mountain, you were speaking to your pal.
Yesterday. Right, okay. That's it. Goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.